The first feature today is part of the run-up to the Norwich Beer Festival. Roger Proats, editor of the Good Beer Guide, looked at the links between India Pale Ale and East Anglia. His article is read by Ree Chakraborty.
India Pale Ale, a beer first brewed in Victorian times, has taken the modern world by storm, and it has historic links with East Anglia as brewers source their supplies of barley from the grain basket of England. IPA, as the beer is called for short, was first brewed in London early in the 19th century and exported to India to refresh the British running the country. The top echelon of the British rulers, the Raj, wanted a more refreshing beer in that torrid climate than the dark porters and stouts sent to them from back home. The production of IPA moved from London to Burton-on-Trent, where the mineral-rich waters of the Trent Valley were better suited to the production of pale ale. The small Midlands town became for a while the major brewing centre in the world. By the end of the 19th century, the biggest Burton brewer, Bass, was producing 1 million barrels a year. Several decades before golden lagers were produced in Central Europe, IPA was the first pale beer the world had seen. Brewers needed vast amounts of the finest malting barley to create clear and sparkling ale, and they turned to Norfolk and Suffolk for their supplies. And it wasn't just barley that went from eastern England to the Midlands. The Burton brewers needed workers for their large maltings, where grain was turned by hand as barley transformed into malt. In the winter months, a small army of agricultural workers from East Anglia went to work in the Burton maltings. They were given smart uniforms and were nicknamed Norkies or Suffolk Jims. They were also given train tickets home so they could work in the fields during harvest time. I set out to trace both the history and revival of the beer in my book, IPA, A Legend in Our Time, Pavilion Books, £20. The heyday of the beer was brief. Towards the end of the 19th century, it was replaced in the colonies by golden lager beer, served cold, with the aid of ice and refrigeration. IPA's death knell sounded during World War I, and the government repeatedly increased the levels of duty on beer. The taxes were needed to boost the war effort. As a result, the strength of IPA tumbled from 6 and 7% alcohol to a humble 3.6. The beer became a shadow of its former self and gradually disappeared. But now IPA has made an astonishing recovery. The modern beer revolution has not only introduced a wave of new styles, but has also seen craft brewers digging into old recipe books for inspiration. As a result, we can now enjoy genuine IPAs. In the United States, where there are more than 5,000 independent craft breweries, IPA is the most popular type of beer they brew. In the UK, with some 1,700 breweries, IPA is equally popular, with several hundred versions of the styles available. In keeping with the origins of the beer, it's fitting that there's a good clutch of IPAs in East Anglia. They include two saintly breweries, St Andrews in Norwich and St Peter's near Bungay. Grain at Aldborough has won prizes for its powerful 6.5% lignum vitae, while Green Jack in Lowestoft, with its shipping and export traditions, just had to brew an IPA. Adnams in Southwark has produced several interpretations of the style, while Green King in Bury St Edmunds has responded to criticism that its 3.6% IPA is too low in strength to be a genuine version of the style, with IPA reserve at 5.4%. And you still need the finest malting barley to make the IPAs, and that tradition is kept alive by Crisp Malt at Great Ryeborough, who produce Maris Otter, the malt choice for craft brewers.